Isn't this a sports show?
All right, hell yeah. Chiefs Raid.
Almost entirely.
What? What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Chiefs living before the cast-offs start.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Welcome to Almost Entirely Existential Dread. I'm your host, Who Cares Anymore?
On ESPN Kansas City.
I wanna die. I don't wanna live anymore.
I'm going to start smoking meth whenever the Rams win the Super Bowl next year. Really, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, you guys. Turn it up, Beards.
All right,
turn it back down.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm stunned. Obviously, I'm stunned. I spent the better part of this entire week talking about how stunned I would be if the Chiefs were to trade Marcus Peters. You can mark me down as 100% stunned. Also, Beards, A-plus work on the intro today. Was that cooked up for today especially?
Yes.
Very good work.
Yeah, I had to search through our audio files and go, all right, what's the most depressed Josh / angry at the Chiefs, Josh?
I'm sad, really. My initial reaction was I was stunned, and then I was sad. Because I like Marcus Peters.
The studio is crying with us.
The ceiling, Beards isn't kidding. The ceiling is leaking in the ESPN Kansas City studios right now. That's the sound of the water. So the Chiefs have traded Marcus Peters to the Los Angeles Rams, which isn't even a real team. I'm not even sure that we have correctly identified that as an NFL football team. And the Chiefs traded their best defensive player to the Rams. We don't know the compensation in this exact moment, but I gotta be honest, I'm guessing it's not awesome. The first thing we have to do, and again, hopefully you can turn the music off now. This is a whole song about how much life sucks, and it's very funny. I tweeted it out earlier. We'll keep our eyes on Twitter and everything all day today to try to figure out what the Chiefs are getting in return for Marcus Peters. But yeah, openly, I'm willing to say this sucks. The Chiefs just traded their best defensive player, and they almost certainly didn't get value back from him. I'll explain the reasons that's the case in a second. But the biggest misconceptions that I've seen on Twitter today since this trade went down have driven me crazy. I'm not sure that there is legitimately, any logic that can justify this. I'm not sure there's a single way that you can make a realistic argument that this trade is good for the Chiefs right now. And now there's one argument that I think holds the most water, like this bucket that's underneath the leaking ceiling today. That is, again, actually happening. The ceiling is crying because it's also sad. But the thing that almost holds water is that, well, Marcus Peters didn't want to be in Kansas City. He was never going to re-up with the Chiefs. That could very well be true. And with the seriousness of actually trading him to the Rams, I'm willing to consider that it might be true. Now, I would believe that. But the Chiefs still didn't have their hands tied quite so tightly. Again, the trade led to reports and speculation all over the place that Peters was never going to re-sign in Kansas City, which is something that we have talked about here for the last couple of days. But I don't think that matters, not right now. Because the Chiefs' best chance to win a Super Bowl was supposed to be 2019. It's the second year of Patrick Mahomes as the starter. You're still in control of Houston and Barry and Jones and Kelsey and Hill and Hunt and Marcus Peters. You have good cap situations. You can supplement that roster pretty freely. And also, the Chiefs could have franchise tagged Marcus Peters for the 2020 season also. And the Chiefs would have had a two-year window there to really, really contend with some legitimate blue-chip player stars. And then you either get a compensatory pick whenever Peters leaves in free agency after you franchise tag him for 1 year. Franchise tagging him for yet another year probably would have been too expensive. Or you try trading him while he's tagged. Either way, you shoot your shot. You take a shot to win a Super Bowl whenever you actually have that caliber of player. Someone asked Sam Mellinger on Twitter. He said, do you think there's a chance that Peters pushed for this? That Peters wanted to be traded? Seth Kizer, we've had on the show a bunch, said he actually reported that he had a source tell him that Peters asked for a trade after the Titans loss. I also asked for a trade after the Titans loss just to be a fan of a team that wouldn't break my heart every year. But Brett Veach has not moved me yet. I'm the only one that's definitely being held over from 2017 into 2018. But Sam's response to that question, is there a chance Peters asked for this, I thought was stupendous. He said, of course it is. Of course it's possible. It's also possible that the Chiefs should have had enough guts and competence to make it right, particularly when they controlled him for 2 to 4 more years. That's why the Chiefs didn't have to do this. And it's why every 5 minutes I'm going to refresh my Twitter feed and try to figure out what that compensation is. Again, right now my hopes are not terribly, terribly high. And a bunch of people will be listening to this on podcasts later, and you know, you'll be able to look back at this and say, oh, well, actually, the Chiefs ended up getting blah, blah, blah. As of right now, I'm not terribly optimistic, and I'll explain that in a second. But the Chiefs weren't forced to do this right now. I don't love having to hold players hostage, but the Chiefs had Peters for the end of his rookie deal here, this year, next year under his fifth-year option, the next year under the first-year franchise tag, and maybe for a fourth year, getting franchise tagged a second time. This isn't the Royals against the trade deadline last season, where you have to either bleep or get off the pot. You either have to let your guys play out the rest of the season or you make those moves. If that was the case, if Marcus Peters was going into a second franchise tagged season, then this would make sense. Or even if he was about to go into his first franchise tagged season, it would make sense. But it does not make sense to trade away one of the best defensive players in football, certainly one of the best cornerbacks in football, and certainly the best cornerback I've ever seen in Kansas City, to trade him away because you felt like your hands were tied. Also, this is a rough look for Andy Reid. There's a tweet going around somewhere where someone was saying, you know, if you're going to have a wolf of a player, you got to have a wolf head coach and a wolf defensive coordinator. I don't remember if the word wolf was what they were actually using or not. It doesn't really matter. It was some sort of aggressive animal. And this aggressive animal theory makes some sense. You have to have a fiery guy to control a fiery guy and to get him up to play every week. Whatever. I understand. And I'm not going to say that Marcus Peters was the easiest guy ever to coach. I would never argue that. I understand that. That's not true. I've never argued that. I hope everyone knows I've never argued that. I like Marcus Peters, but I've never argued that he is a coach's dream. He's not Eric Berry in that regard, but he is Eric Berry as a player. He is Eric Berry as a talent. And you know what? Sometimes you just figure out the way to make that work. If you're a future Hall of Fame head coach and Andy Reid, you find a way to make that work. And again, all of this could be egg on. If the Chiefs end up getting 4 first-round picks for Marcus Peters, then then all of what I have said is a moot point. Because they could also trade Travis Kelce for 4 first-round picks. And I could say all these same things, and then I would, 4 first-round picks, all right, whatever. But with the knowledge we have in this moment, at 4:10 on Friday, and the expectations I have in this moment, This is Andy Reid and the Chiefs waving the white flag on Marcus Peters. And in the NFL, you simply do not have that kind of ability to where you just have such a surplus of talent that you can just ship guys out because they're giving you some trouble. Again, I'm fully aware of the fact that Marcus Peters is no head coach's dream. But as your number one corner, he should be. He should be every GM's dream and every owner's dream and every coach's dream and every fan's dream for your number one corner. And the Chiefs were building a secondary that was going to be good this year. There were still some holes in it, but you knew the outsides were Peters and Fuller. Maybe Fuller moved in, and then you have Nelson and Amerson kind of, fighting for that last spot. You bring back Terrence Mitchell probably. It's a pretty good secondary. Now, you hope Kendall Fuller ends up becoming a one, which he might be able to be. But you're not. This isn't about replacing Marcus Peters with Kendall Fuller. It's about replacing Marcus Peters now with David Amerson or Terrence Mitchell or Steven Nelson. You just turned a strength into a weakness again. This whole offseason was about trying to overturn the defensive personnel in a way that would give you a reason to keep Bob Sutton. And oh my God, the Chiefs got rid of Marcus Peters and kept Bob Sutton. If you have a way that makes sense to you, I mean this so openly and honestly, so truthfully, I ask you. If you have a good reason in mind for why the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters and kept Bob Sutton, and that was the right thing to do going into 2018, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. This video is live on the 810 page today too. It's Big Chiefs Day.
25 comments so far.
I promise you, I'll read them all and I'll respond to most of them today. Continue. Feel free to comment all the way through on the video of the show here today. Comment away, and I will read every one of them and talk about most of them, I promise. I want to get through the things, at the front of the cycle, and then I'll look at your opinions and share them with everyone else. I'll acknowledge your questions. What's the general mood of the comments right now, Beards?
For the most part, not happy.
Okay.
Our internet was also acting up earlier.
Great.
And
so are some of the comments about the stream not working?
No.
Okay, great.
Well, not necessarily. I think it was Seamus, or Andy asked if we traded Marcus Peters for a better internet connection.
That would have been something I would have been okay with.
I said no, unfortunately. Also, we didn't get a working mouse or a fixed mic stand for Josh.
Also, the ceiling is leaking.
Also,
today.
The ceiling is crying.
Also, I keep seeing things about the Chiefs getting a sixth round pick.
I think that was a compensatory.
It's the compensatory pick for Nick Foles, but every time I scroll and I see the phrase sixth round pick,
you just get that much more excited.
I double over. I double over in pain.
Just a little bit of you dies inside.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an eye on Twitter, so you keep talking and
great.
I'll see if
perfect.
I can come up
thank
with
you.
Anything.
By the way, someone on Twitter was surmising that perhaps Marcus Peters' antics were too much to put on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes. And I understand where this guy was coming from. I'm not trying to belittle this guy. You have a rookie quarterback. You'd like to give him as few things on his plate as possible. That's fair. Totally fair. Do you know what I think is actually too much to put on Patrick Mahomes right now? Giving up 35 points a game. I would be more worried about that. I would be more worried about recreating Texas Tech for Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. That would be my concern.
Those aren't the college flashbacks he wants to have.
No! Like, while you're at it, just put down Mitch Morse. Destroy Mitch Morse. Whenever you a horse breaks its leg. We keep talking about this because I forgot this
Glue
is a
factory.
Thing until a couple days ago. But whenever you put down a horse, it's called destroying a horse. Which I relearned this a couple days ago, and it's just stuck in the frontal lobe of my brain for some reason. Just destroy Mitch Morse and trade Mitchell Schwartz and make Eric Fisher play all five positions at once just to really give Patrick Mahomes the hardest time possible. I just think there are so many misconceptions. There are so many things right now that keep swirling around. Like, oh, he didn't want to be here. They had to move on. They had to make this trade. And they just didn't have to. And again, as of right now, it's 4:15. We still don't know what the Chiefs are getting back from Marcus Peters. And that doesn't make me feel terribly great. Because I'm pretty sure that the Chiefs know that most Chiefs fans right now are having a really hard time with this. And so I think if the Chiefs had gotten back a tremendous haul, then Brett Veach would have texted Therese Paylor by now to sort of have some of the anger dissipate. But there are a bunch of bad signs here. There was something about the market for Peters being lukewarm and really coming down to it was going to be the Rams or nobody. And the Chiefs apparently wanted Robert Quinn from the Rams and ended up settling for just draft picks. And that's a gut punch. Not because Robert Quinn would have made a ton of sense, because his contract isn't great. And he's 27. I'm not actually mourning not getting Robert Quinn. That's fine. He wouldn't have changed his defense, at a core level. He wouldn't have changed his defense as much as Marcus Peters. But having a price in mind and then settling for something less than that, when you're trading a guy who legitimately, this is not an exaggeration, a corner who is on a Hall of Fame career path, selling him at a bargain bin price is not terribly encouraging. And apparently John Dorsey wasn't actually super interested. Chris Ballard wasn't actually super interested. You can point to all the places where even the GMs that had previously been in Kansas City, they knew that Peters was problematic. They knew it was going to be keeping their head coach's hands full. I understand why you would have some second guessing about that. But I think it goes back to what Mellinger said. This is why I keep ending up. You have Andy Reid for this specific reason. This is why Andy Reid is here. Andy Reid is here to deal with difficult situations like a Hall of Fame coach. He's here to manage challenging players within his own team to get the best thing possible for the team's day-by-day in-game performance. And I've been really good to Andy Reid, and I've been really good to Clark Hunt. Not that they owe me anything. I don't mean to say they should be kissing my feet in this moment. But if you're new to the show or whatever, I've been forgiving of their shortcomings for the most part. I've been relatively optimistic of both of them. But this is a time whenever I look around and think, what a white flag to wave. And what a time to do it. Where this isn't being painted in to a corner and you have to trade him this offseason. And again, with the lack of information we have about the actual compensation, not getting a worthy haul. At this point, if the Chiefs got this year's first and next year's first from the Rams, I wouldn't be happy, but I would groan and pick those first round picks up and put them in my pocket. But the Rams pick this year's in the 20s. Their pick next year will be in the upper 20s, I would assume. They're a good football team. They just got better today. Unquestionably better today. So a couple, just in case, again, like in case you're listening to this in a podcast later, or you're curious now what would make me change my tone, I think what would change my tone would be something unrealistic, which would be like a first and second the next 2 years, or three firsts over the next 3 years. When you're legitimately talking about a young, top of his game, entering his prime cornerback with 3 years of club control left. And it doesn't matter what the return is. The Chiefs are probably not going to find a player as good as Marcus Peters. It's plausible, but not terribly likely. What's up, Beards?
There's a guy with 15 followers claiming that it's for LA's first-round picks in 2018 and 19, which pretty much everybody in the comment section that's saying is false.
Perfect. No, 15 followers.
Yeah, actually, just ignore that one.
You have to have 18 followers for me to take you seriously.
I think he actually has 16, so.
Also, there was a report from a fake Ian Rappaport that was saying a 1-5 from the Rams. That was a fake Rappaport. That was unsurprisingly picked up by the Chiefs insider, Captain Rumblings himself, who said 1-5. He continues to be a Hall of Fame of nonsense. So that's, again, unless something is broken literally while I've been talking, there's no confirmed number yet. There certainly wasn't before 4. Beard's keeping an eye on it now. I'm keeping an eye on it.
That's all I've seen so far.
So if something breaks in the next few minutes, we'll know, and we'll break it down as we go. Right now, I'm having a hard time coming up with a good price. If I'm trying to be realistic, and I'm trying to say, all right, this is something that the Rams would have paid knowing that they were only bidding against themselves, and something the Chiefs would have taken knowing that they were giving up an all-pro corner, I'm getting to, like, the first round pick this year, and a third this year, and a third next year. Like, and whatever it is, it's not good enough.
All we've heard so far is picks, right? Nothing
yes.
about players?
No, that was one of the early reports is that there were no players involved. That was one of the...
It's not good.
It's not good. And also, I've given Brett Veach credit for part of this over the last couple weeks. He's looking for young players that are going to be good values that he can control for several years. That's what high draft picks are going to do. So I don't begrudge him that philosophy. I think that's the right way to go. But Peters is a better player than anyone they're going to control with whatever they get back from the Rams. They've got him for... They had him. I have to get used to speaking in the past tense. They had him for an amazing value this year, like $3.5 million. They would have had him for his fifth-year option next year. D. Ford's fifth-year options costing like $8 million for the Chiefs, just for something comparable. And then they had him for a franchise-tagged year, even if he had said he was never going to sign with the team. That's value. That's control and value in youth. Those are all of the things that I've praised Brett Veach for targeting. Marcus Peters was that. And so right now, all I'm doing is holding my breath and crossing my fingers that the return they're going to be getting for Marcus Peters is going to be even better than that. And I'm not terribly hopeful. All right, whenever we come back, I'm going to talk about Clark Hunt. Something I said a couple days ago in reference to a potential Marcus Peters trade, then something Ian Rappaport reported today that I think could be problematic for Clark Hunt. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can always tweet me at JB Briscoe, or you can comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page as, dear Lord.
There's a lot.
A lot of you have done so far.
There's 39 so far, I think.
So I'll spend the commercial break reading those, and we'll talk about them whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Will we eventually talk about, you know, should Patrick Mahomes take over the Chiefs? Sure, we'll eventually talk about Patrick Mahomes taking over the Chiefs.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Beard made a good point. Patrick Mahomes should just, like, be the new czar of the Chiefs. He should be the coach, he should be the GM, he should be the owner. Clark Hunt should give Patrick Mahomes the franchise. All right, so a handful of things here from the Facebook comments. Every day we put out the show on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City, as well as 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM, also podcast. Search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you want. But Tim said in the Facebook comment, it absolutely makes sense. I think it was evident what you get out of a guy that's heart isn't in it. This is as high as his stock will be. They're going to get a first plus. Why hold him hostage in a town he doesn't want to be in? you're getting somewhere. But I think it is, and again, I have no interest in just flaming commenters, so please don't take this terribly personally. But I don't know how you can watch Marcus Peters and think that his heart isn't in it. Like, are you kidding?
That was like the criticism of the opposite end.
Yes, that was the problem. He was too in it. Like, he lost his cool because he was, like, throwing flags into the stands because he was too amped about losing to the Jets. So I think that's a totally unfair criticism. I hope that... I might need you to get, like, a little, like, buzzer occasionally that you can hit if I start getting, like, really demonstrative.
Okay.
Or, like,
I will.
Demeaning. I think I'm good so far. I'm aware of it.
No, you're good so far. I'll browse the system and see what I can find.
Great. And we don't know what the return's going to be. It can't be higher than what I think pick 23 or something like that. I think is where the Rams are sitting this year. Well, I got to find a guy at 23. It's going to be Marcus Peters. Like, it's going to be that they absolutely hit the lottery with Marcus Peters. It's on Analogy on Twitter. And now they're using the lottery winnings to go buy more lottery tickets. And I don't like that. But again, I do not think that there's a reason to say that Marcus Peters didn't have his heart in it. He might have had too much emotion in it. You cannot say that he didn't have enough.
I get the hostage part, though.
Sure, but that's also... But you can't let your employees feel like a hostage. If you're signed to a contract for another 3 years, maybe it was an unjust system. Maybe you want to abolish the draft entirely and let college kids come out and be free agents and choose where they want to go. And Peters probably would have signed with the Raiders for less money as a rookie. That's probably all true. If you want to abolish the draft, then go for it. Otherwise, it's your responsibility as a head coach and a general manager to make your players not feel like hostages. Do you think Travis Kelce wanted to be in Kansas City? I don't. I don't think Travis Kelce came out of college and wanted to be in Kansas City. Andy Reid has a reputation of being a hard ass. Remember, we've heard the stories about Andy Reid calling Travis Kelce on draft day. Remember, did you ever hear those stories, Beards?
I don't think I did.
Look that up for me, would you? And you just find some of the quotes. But Travis Kelce went and had a dating show. Travis Kelce wants to be on Radio Row selling stuff during Super Bowl week. Travis Kelce wants to be in L.A. during the offseason. And good on him. I get it. It's like, so do I. That seems like fun. I'd love to go spend a week in L.A. instead of being hit by an ice storm here. I love Kansas City, but I understand wanting to be in L.A. That makes plenty of sense to me. Do you think that Travis Kelce really wanted to be in Kansas City? I don't. Do I think he's happy here now? I do. Did he sign an extension here? Yes. Part of Andy Reid's job is to make sure Travis Kelce didn't feel like a hostage here. Do you think Alex Smith wanted to be in Kansas City? He's a coastal dude. He was in San Francisco, and now he's in Washington. I'm guessing he's happier in Washington than he was in Kansas City. It's a relatively small NFL market. The weather's crappy. Do you think all of these guys from coastal colleges, or like Travis Kelce with a big city personality, they want to be in Kansas City? It's not about Kansas City. It's about the organization. And not feel like you're being held hostage.
But that barbecue, though.
Right. Right, you can only get barbecue in Kansas City. Like, and this is coming from my perspective. I've lived here my whole life. Like, I've lived in Wichita and Shawnee and Olathe. I'm bringing this up because I know we have people watching today on Facebook who might be new to the show. I've lived in Kansas my entire life. I'm cool. I like it here. And from my perspective, I understand Travis Kelce or Marcus Peters wanting to be in a bigger market on a coastal city. For Peters, it's just being closer to home. For Kelce, it's being closer to more TV studios. And I get all of that. So yeah, if your player does feel like he's being held hostage, you're bleeped. You are. You are effed. If you have if you have 52 guys on your roster that feel like they're being held hostage. By the way, I've with the level of understanding I have to the Chiefs locker room, which is less than plenty of people in the Kansas City media, and more than it was a year ago before I was, on air here and everything, I get the feeling that Andy Reid does a pretty good job of having a locker room that people are happy to be a part of. I don't get the feeling that there's a bunch of guys in there just clawing to get out of the Midwest. I don't see that happening.
Like, we heard some stuff from the Giants. Like, we talked about this earlier. Whoever was calling Eli Apple a cancer.
Yes.
We've had none of that here.
That's something that you trust Andy Reid with. That doesn't happen. And, like, there was some talk today about what's the next shoe to drop. And somebody in the Facebook comments here talked about trading. Allen says, Justin Houston to the Browns for their 2 second-round picks this year's draft. $100 million contract hasn't been worth it. Now, listen. First of all, at this point, legitimately, and Seth Kizer said this first, anyone other than Mahomes being traded tomorrow wouldn't stun me. Like, I don't think I could be shook. Now, most of the young guys would be the most stunning, but if Justin Houston or Travis Kelce or Eric Berry or anybody with a contract either already in place or coming up soon, any of those guys being traded could not stun me, because this today stunned me, and I will not be stunned that way again for anyone less than Mahomes. With that being said, I don't think there's any reason to assume that there are other, like, cancerous personalities in the locker room that can't be dealt with. Again, though, I was saying that about Marcus Peters yesterday, that I trusted Andy Reid to deal with that.
And also, now we've had a couple players, I think there's been reports that them coming out and they're not happy about all this.
Yeah,
I don't remember who said that.
No, somebody, I think Therese tweeted that there were rumblings, by the way, just for the sake of the show. I do accept rumblings from Therese. That might be it. Like, Therese Paylor and Sam Mellinger get to tweet out about rumblings, and I'll believe them. Albert Wilson tweeted a couple of emoji. I heard from not a player, but I heard another thing elsewhere. But, you know, it's like, well, there are two sides of this in the locker room. Some guys aren't gonna mind that Peters is no longer there. Some guys are absolutely questioning the move. Those have been the rumblings. Making a move like this is going to cause some division. Like, you think that trading Alex Smith might have been the wrong move? You think that trading Alex Smith might have caused some problems? I mean, you haven't seen anything. Trading Alex Smith made sense because you've seen the best of Alex Smith. The best of Alex Smith wasn't good enough. And the Chiefs had invested in the quarterback of the future. And you can only play one of those guys at a time. Don't say that the Chiefs just traded for Kendall Fuller, so they had their replacement for Marcus Peters lined up. You need two or three really top-quality corners in football. We saw that last year because the Chiefs had one of the best corners in football, and then also Terrence Mitchell and Steven Nelson and Philip Gaines and Kenneth Acker. You need two. The Chiefs had two. Now they're back to one. This is not the same thing. But if you thought there might be division in the locker room after trading Alex Smith, this is that situation on steroids. Because this is a young guy that's a value that is your best defensive player. And again, I understand that he didn't want to be here. I believe that, especially after the move they made today. Seeing him actually get traded makes it even more likely in my mind that, yeah, he really did not want to re-sign in Kansas City, and he did not want to be here now. But if he felt somehow betrayed by Clark Hunt, which, by the way, if I was Marcus Peters, I would feel some of that. If he felt betrayed by Andy Reid, or at least not respected by Andy Reid, which I could understand. If he felt not very valued by Brett Veach, which I would understand. It is on Clark Hunt and Andy Reid and Brett Veach to try to mend those bridges. And maybe they got all the way to the end of that. Maybe they spent the last month, because in case you missed it, the Chiefs haven't been playing football in over a month. Barely needed January. Per usual. Maybe the Chiefs have been using the last month and a half to try to mend those bridges, and they decided they couldn't. So they gave up a guy they had for 3 more years, maybe 4, definitely 2. Gave him up for a return still to be determined. We'll get through more comments here in a second, but I wanted to talk about the Clark Hunt side of things. I said in the last couple days that if the Chiefs were to trade Marcus Peters, then it would be in any way connected back to Clark Hunt not liking the fact that Peters sat during the national anthem or stayed in the locker room during the national anthem. If that ended up being part of the logic behind trading Marcus Peters and that got out, that it would create an absolute PR bleep storm for Clark Hunt and the Chiefs. That hasn't been formally said anywhere. Although, I think it's Sean King tweeted about it. Really large Twitter following, social activist. But if that is something that ends up falling in Clark Hunt's lap, this is going to be just another arrow in the quiver for fans that don't think Clark Hunt cares about winning, which is, again, something that I've defended Clark Hunt. Now, my defense after he said a couple of weeks ago, right after the season, when he said, you know what, I thought this was a successful season because we won the division again 2 years in a row. I thought it was a successful season. My defense for him then was that he's just kind of a bumbling PR guy in that moment. When he doesn't want to sound like he's doing anything other than kissing Andy Reid's feet, which, whatever, fine. It's fine. I don't put a whole lot of stock in the things that Clark Hunt says. He completely missed the boat during the heat of the anthem stuff and the president calling the players names. He missed the boat on that. And I think Clark Hunt wants to just be as antiseptic as possible and alienate as few people as possible. I generally am not going to spend too much time talking about Clark Hunt. But Ian Rappaport used the phrase on NFL Network today that Peters, quote, was not someone that owner Clark Hunt was going to pay on a long-term extension. And I think that matters. I heard that and I went back and listened to it again. Listened to it one more time so I could transcribe the quote perfectly. I don't have ever heard language like that out of the Chiefs organization, that the owner had decided he wasn't going to pay a player, even if the GM was going to make a case for him, which I think is implied. Rappaport didn't follow up on it, and if I could talk to Rappaport, I'd love to know more on that storyline. But regardless, that was something that I did latch onto for a second. Again, because the common tropes about Clark Hunt that fans can latch on to is that he doesn't really care about winning. Not a lot. He cares about winning enough to keep the stadium full and to make money and everything. And again, I think that's largely unfair because he spends. He went and spent on the biggest head coach and GM candidate that were out there whenever they moved on from Pioli. And Pioli was the hottest GM candidate out there too. Then he went and got Dorsey and Reed. And then Reed wanted Dorsey gone, and so they hired Brett, and they brought up Brett Veach. And they've spinned to the top of the cap. Clark Hunt signing checks. He should be, by the way. If there's an NFL owner who's refusing to sign checks, they should be forced to sell their team. The NFL is printing money. But I don't think there's any reason to think that Clark Hunt doesn't want to win a Super Bowl. Also, they just drafted a rookie quarterback and then traded away Alex Smith, who was a, you know, definitive, no questions asked, 10-6. And they're going to a rookie that could actually, you know, not pan out. I hate to say that because I don't believe it. You know I don't believe it. You know I believe in Pat Mahomes. He's going to have to score 45 bleeping points a game this year. Because the defense is just Bob Sutton and a bunch of cardboard cutouts. Just Bob Sutton dropping Justin Houston into coverage and then a bunch of cardboard cutouts. But I think that's an unfair criticism of Clark Hunt to say that, oh, he doesn't care about winning, he just wants to keep the stadium full. But for the people that are already saying that, this could be venomous. Still nothing, Beards, on the actual compensation of this
Not
trade?
That I've seen.
Every passing minute makes me more worried. Honestly.
Watch it be a Friday news dump.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Although that would be a long time to wait.
Well, I mean, we're 15 minutes from 5 o'clock. If they wait until 5, if they are purposefully waiting till 5 p.m. to dump it, That bodes horribly. And if they wait until 6 p.m. to dump it, because that's when most of the afternoon radio shows go off, us included, that bodes even worse.
Yeah.
Like, really, I think if there was a big... if they're going to back up the Brinks truck for Marcus Peters, or the Rams are going to back up the Brinks truck for Marcus Peters, I think we'd know about it right now, because... for the most part, the Chiefs are not getting the most rave reviews right now. It's just, I mean, the compensation matters. I'm not gonna grade the trade until the compensation's in. But even optimistic ways of looking at it, even optimistic returns would be far from a locked in A or B grade. You could say it's a first round pick this and a first round pick next year, and I wouldn't be jumping for joy right now by any means. I think I touched on this, and this is probably a question asked during the first segment I'm just now seeing. Todd asked, did Peters demand the trade? Seth Kizer said that after the Titans game that he had a source tell him today that after the Titans game, Peters asked to be traded. So that's totally plausible. Go ahead.
Andy just commented, knowing how bad the story is so far, watch it be a 2019 seventh rounder.
I mean, like, I don't, there are so few things in sports that can shock me anymore. Any baseball player could be doing steroids. Any NFL quarterback could be drinking cancer-killing water. Any trade could be for anything. And at this point, today shocked me, and I don't even know if I can plausibly be shocked again. RJ said, if Marcus wanted to leave, or if we had no plans on re-signing him, which is insane at that, at least we aren't sitting on our hands not getting something for him at his highest market value. I don't know why his market value wouldn't go up again this year. I don't know why you wouldn't keep him, even without franchise tagging him, just through his rookie contract this year and the fifth year option for 2019. Try to make an actual run. Maybe his opinion changes then with a differently built team. And if not, again, you as a coach and GM, you just have to make your guy not feel like a hostage. If your players feel like hostages, you've lost them, obviously. And Rudy said, you know, except Peters is a piece that is literally priceless. That's kind of where I'm at right now. This is an unfair comparison. But what if we found out right now, breaking news, the Packers have traded Aaron Rodgers. The Packers have traded Aaron Rodgers or the Browns.
That would shock me.
Yeah, me too. But the Browns have the first and fourth pick this year. They're picking at the top of the whole draft. If the Browns traded literally their entire draft, which is the first pick, the fourth pick, and every pick the rest of the way down,
and
Myles Garrett, their whole draft and Myles Garrett, who wins that trade? I mean, the Browns do. The Browns have maybe the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. Certainly, one of the two best quarterbacks in football right now. And listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a hard time in Cleveland. And the Packers are going to have a chance to get whatever quarterback it is they want in this rookie class right now. But that's not enough of a haul. I think there's some of that for Marcus Peters here. Also, knowing that the Rams, again, have a 20-something first-round pick. It's not like the Chiefs could be getting the fifth pick back here. If that was the case, this would be different. If this was the Browns, the Chiefs had traded Peters to the Browns and were waiting for compensation. And they're going, is it going to be number 1 overall? Is it going to be number 4 overall? Maybe it's 4 and a third-round pick? This is all different. The Rams aren't going to pick in the top 20 for the next 5 years. All right, we need to take a break. I've talked too long. Whenever we come back, I'm going to read more comments, tell you more interesting things, and, I mean, just continue to get sadder.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, you know what happened? I'm finna go get loaded.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Oh, I miss him. Stop playing this song. This is a sad baseball song.
This is a sad everything song.
That's true. I already miss Marcus Peters. That was also my reaction whenever he got traded. All right, a couple things to the Facebook page again. Greg said, glad the cancer has gone. And I just genuinely would like to ask, do you think the team is better today than it was yesterday? Because if you do, it's fine. I'm just glad you're not the general manager, because I just don't see it. Let's see. Oh, I had a couple other comments ready to go here. Chris says, it could be that he can't harness his emotions. Flag throwing, leaving the field after not being ejected, coming back on the field with no socks and shoes on the wrong feet. I think his shoes are on the right feet. I don't know. Didn't want to be here. Might as well get what you can before he has the opportunity to tell people he's leaving as a free agent before his value drops. He'll demand $15 million a season in 2 years. You have 2 years. You have more years with him. Like, I understand that he's a hothead. But you have more years to work with him. You have a... It's very hard to have real Super Bowl windows. And if you're going to have a Super Bowl window with Patrick Mahomes' rookie contract, have your players. Keep your players. Let him leave in free agency. Let him leave in free agency after 3 seasons. Get a third-round compensatory draft pick, and then move on. Josh is glad he's gone. To see a kneeler whom you don't agree with is one thing. You can respect someone for standing or not. For what they believe, but this is the knucklehead rather than stand. Rides a stationary bike while smirking. He's a jerk, and we don't need him on the team. There are many things more important than football. Glad to see him gone. Thank you, Josh, for making the most important football announcements. This also is the team that drafted Tyreek Hill, who beat and strangled his pregnant girlfriend. So I am glad that you're picking your battles well. That is the place to do it. Exercise bike during the national anthem. No jerk. Trade him, Tyreek Hill. Going to get a huge freaking contract in a few years. Oh, I was being degrading. You know what? Bleep it. Take it. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
All right, during this commercial break, I am going to... Because I have poor judgment, I'm going to dive into the comment section. And then next segment, we will respond to your comments.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Unless they're hurtful, in which case I will block you from the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, I mean, today's just bad. Today's bad for my health. You were right to buzz me at the end of the last segment for my tone. But I will simply...
I've got it ready.
I will not apologize.
I have it armed.
I bet that guy owns a Tyreek Hill jersey. Some things are more important than football. Like, sure, that's true. But, I mean, if you got to really make sure you're picking the right battles, my dude. I hope that you're also glad that Tyreek Hill gets traded for a fourth-round pick in a year or whatever. Whatever, man. Seamus said, hey, Kelsey didn't stand sometimes also. The only difference in your argument is that... Oh, that's a different... He's talking to the other Josh. The Josh was commenting. The only difference in the argument, though, is that Peters rode the bike, which is still bettering himself. Like, I just... I don't know. Mike says, think they would have traded their 2018 first-round pick if they had intentions of trading Peters this year? No chance. This is a reactionary move. Also, several people in the comments have... Floored out the idea that maybe Brett Veach needed a new couch, which is a hilarious joke if you've listened to this show for the last 6 months.
Watch it be like some old moth-eaten couch with a bunch of...
100%.
Like coffee stains or something on it.
100%.
Yep. It's like a fifth-round couch.
It's good. Andy says, this just in, at JB Briscoe, games with Twitter followers in the Marcus Peters trade. I'll tell you what. This my Twitter has had a pretty good day, so that's nice. There's a silver lining. Get a handful of Twitter followers. That's always nice. Still not enough. Alan says, this deal is so big. It probably has a lot of details. Picks for how well he plays. Picks for the fifth-year option. Picks for the long-term deal. Those factors could all weigh in. And that could be the case. We had heard earlier that... the deal was done, but the final details are being knocked out still.
Okay, that's just what I was going to ask you, whether or not it was done.
Well, so...
Because I don't think I'd see anything about it being done. All I'd heard is that they were talking about it and they were coming close to finalizing it.
Yeah, but the thing that is strange to me is that was hours ago. And so if they're still haggling, no, the deal, it's over, man. They cannot go back now. You can't undo this. Also, Allen says the hothead could get worse in 2 years. And I add, with no editorializing at all, his profile picture appears to be Donald Trump holding a gun. I didn't editorialize. I thought it was funny.
Don't be too mean to the listeners.
I don't think I was even being mean. I just thought it was funny. Genuinely, I thought it was funny. Everything Alan said had been fine. I just thought that was funny. The idea that you don't want to tie yourself to a hothead for the next 2 years. And Donald Trump's his profile picture. I don't even know if that's I don't know if that's because he's pro or anti-Trump. It doesn't matter if he's pro or anti-Trump. It doesn't matter. I don't care. In this particular context. I thought that was funny. And it's Mike says, all the Nealon haters that'll come back to Arrowhead, you're going to lose all the actual football fans that can clearly see that Clark Hunt isn't trying to win a ring. This could be the worst offense in that bandolier of shots you can take at Clark Hunt.
Really quickly, what was the attendance last year?
Sold out every day.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we ever had anything less than a sellout. Even with this hothead out there. Oh, that hothead. Alan said that his picture is funny. Yeah, it is funny. And it's funny. Alan says it's funny. So I want you to take that beat back.
I'll see what I can do. Hold on.
Okay.
You keep talking. I'll see if I can do that.
Sure. I think you're going to figure it out. And so, again, I don't really think... I don't think that Clark Hunt is a fair target most of the time whenever it comes to actually trying to win a Super Bowl. Because he paid for Dorsey, and he paid for Pioli, and he paid for Andy Reid, and... He's made some risky moves, and now they've moved on from a safe quarterback to a risky quarterback. I think that's all what I would have done if I was an owner. This is just a thing that is going to look bad on Clark Hunt because he has not handled any of this particularly well.
The mouse and I feuded, so no, there's nothing I can do.
You can't reverse it or something?
It's being dumb.
Okay, fine. Can you just?
Can you just
give me a retraction?
This is a seventh round mouse. I can't.
That's
do
fine. Can you give me a retraction?
Yes. Beep retracted.
Thank you. Ray says that's why we'll never see a Super Bowl. Trading your best players, I would have traded Andy Reid. Reid's done a horrible job coaching, blowing playoffs. So there are some decent arguments to make about Andy Reid having some struggles. Also, there's some decent arguments to be made. It wasn't Andy Reid's fault they lost to the Titans. Seth Kizer did a very good job of that after the Titans game. You can Google Arrowhead Pride, whatever. Find Seth's article after the game. But again, this is going to leave a scuff on Andy Reid's resume. I mean, not that there aren't already plenty of scuffs that have to do with postseason failure. But I look at what Andy Reid admitted he couldn't do here, and that's bothersome. That is worrisome to me. It is worrisome to me that Andy Reid has said, "Nah, we can't. I can't do it. Ship him out." And again, it does change depending on the compensation. If he went, I don't want to deal with this. Let's get three first round picks for him. Okay, fine. You know what? Fine. Yeah, let's do it. I don't want to deal with it. Or if it's, yeah, I really don't want to deal with this. Oh, a third round pick and a fourth? Yeah, fine. I'm tired. The difference between those two is huge. I am so worried. Sorry for the awkward pauses that occasionally come. The awkward pauses are me scrolling through Twitter, wondering if we're seriously going to get through a full show without finding out what Marcus Peters was traded for.
It's sure looking like it.
It really is. And again, the longer it goes, the more worrisome it gets. There could be things still to be finalized if it is a huge if it is a huge deal with a bunch of incentives or whatever. But the fact that the trade got out as being, like, official and finalized and whatever, and we're still hours removed from that moment, it does worry me. Yeah. I don't know what the Chiefs have to gain by waiting much longer, other than just sort of hoping everyone chills out and then dropping it out there. But it's worrisome to me. Jerry has tweeted me and said, I don't think this is a legitimate argument about Hill and Marcus Peters. Hill's made no mistakes off the field since draft, that he's not a distraction, he's gotten zero personal foul penalties, and doesn't fight with coaches. Not nearly the same situation. And it's not nearly the same situation, you're right. It's enormously worse. I mean, the Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce had comparable personal foul penalty, you know, sort of issues, and nothing like that. Nothing like the Tyreek Hill story. If you're going to say some things are more important than football, that would apply to Tyreek Hill first and foremost. And also, Jerry on Twitter didn't have the context that the other guy was talking about the anthem thing. So that was the main motive behind his tweet. But still. The tweet that says, the fact that the interest was lukewarm indicates that he's a nightmare to work with. He's uber talented, but quite possibly crazy. Again, maybe. Maybe so. You have to be a special type of crazy to be run out of a team that needs you in the NFL.
And also, if it was that special type of crazy, we either would have heard about it or seen it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw fouls.
Yeah, or like just the T.O. like doing...
I'm really glad you brought up this episode. Yeah. Right, continue. Continue talking about
T.O. doing, what was it? He was bench pressing and just doing a whole bunch of weightlifting in his driveway while the reports were talking.
Yeah.
It's not that.
You mean T.O. who helped Andy Reid get to a Super Bowl? That the same T.O.? That is, we are talking about...
Is it?
Are we talking about the same Terrell Owens, yeah?
I think so.
That Terrell Owens? He and Andy Reid went to a... Let me Google really quick.
Final Four?
Hold on. It's been vacated, actually, now.
World Series.
Terrell Owens. Let's see here.
Olympics.
Yeah, the silver medal.
Darn.
See, Super Bowl memories. Terrell Owens, heroic performance after his return from a broken leg.
Also, Andy and I are currently working on a deal right now on the Facebook page. Tyler Bray for a better computer mouse.
Bad news. Tyler Bray is actually a free agent now, though.
Darn.
You're going to have to, like, a sign and trade situation. Yeah, so the knucklehead, the crazy, unworkable guy that Andy Reid had to take him to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Bad example. It's a bad example for a guy that Andy Reid couldn't handle. I mean, eventually, I guess he couldn't.
Well, like, we can pretty much all agree that T.O. is a little crazier than Marcus Peters, right? From what we know?
I would think so.
But probably.
But also, like, I would have taken Terrell Owens on this team in a heartbeat. Also, usually whenever, just a quick thing, because we still got a bunch of people that are new to the show hanging around now. So a few quick, like, just, like, let you know what this show is. We're on ESPN Kansas City every day from 4 to 6 p.m. You can always watch the show here on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Please feel free to like the Facebook page and come back from 4 to 6 every weekday. Also, you can listen live on 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM. It used to be 99.3. We're moving over 94.5 right now, though.
99.3 is still there, though.
Yes, but not for much longer. And like I said, I think I said it already. Search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Also, usually, we won't do a ton of repeating ourselves. Today, we're going to do some retracking over the same things because we have new audiences coming in and out today. So we're just talking. Today, we are just talking Marcus Peters. We will do 2 hours of this conversation. Maybe we'll lose this track and end up in some nonsense. I'll talk about KU over on 810 tomorrow. Also, ESPN Kansas City is a sister station of 810. We're literally separated by like a pane of glass.
Also, I'll give my Desmond Pfeiffer update Monday.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Gives me more time to watch more than just one of the four episodes that are available on YouTube.
Fantastic. So all that saying, we might recover some ground. Touched on this, but Owen just asked in the comment section about this, so we'll talk about it again. He said, I have a feeling after all these hours, we aren't getting the picks slash players we want for trading Marcus Peters. What do you think? Yeah, I agree. As every minute passes us by, I get more worried about the lack of information. There's a chance that they're currently weaving right now together all of the final strands of the deal and everything, but I don't think you can really be doing negotiations right now because the deal is done, at least in the court of public opinion or whatever. It's been finalized. Can you imagine the story if we came back Monday, and Marcus Peters was still a Chief and the Rams had bailed on the deal or something?
Or the Chiefs backed out because they were afraid of the public backlash or something?
Literally anything like that. Yeah, or they thought that the Rams had written two ones and instead they actually put 11. They'd got an 11th round pick.
I'm not an expert on this at all.
Okay, I might be.
Barely at all. I don't think it's done, because if we haven't heard anything. Well, like, that should have gotten leaked or something at least by now.
But that's the thing, though. It's gotta be done. Because we're at a point where the NFL Twitter account has tweeted, like traded Marcus Peters to the Rams. All the reporting everywhere says they've agreed to the trade. Again, my thought, though, as far as what that means for the compensation, whenever we do find that out, I'm stunned we haven't figured it out yet. And at this point, I don't know.
That's why I think that.
But the reports are that it's finished. If they're actually still negotiating, though, the Chiefs are screwed. The Rams could back out now and go, nope, Chiefs asked for too much. Peace out, guys. If the Rams back out and the Chiefs are left holding the tab, then the Chiefs just tried to trade their best defensive player for who knows how much. And the Chiefs would be living in a living hell. Owen asks again, has it for sure been finalized? Wasn't the Josh McDaniels coaching job announced by the Colts? Yeah, no. So one tricky thing about this is that these transactions, including the Alex Smith trade, will not be finalized until March 14th. That's the first day of the league year. So we have like 3 weeks, basically, before any of this is officially official. But for a team to back out at this point would be a type of, like, organizational suicide.
Has that ever happened?
Stuff like this. I don't remember an offseason like this where there's an option to back out like this has happened. Josh McDaniels, that's the comparison, but that just makes Josh McDaniels poisonous. If Washington backed out on the Alex Smith trade, it would make Washington poisonous. If the Chiefs backed out on this Peters trade, it would make the Chiefs poisonous. I don't think there's any room for that in this type of organization. They can be so fraternal. I can't imagine anything like that happening. And there have been too many reports it's out there. It's happened. The trade is there. And again, the final terms may not yet be agreed upon, but you can't have unfinalized terms while the trade has been agreed to. Like, imagine, I'm trying to think even of a decent analogy. Say Beards, let's say you're selling a car.
Okay.
And actually, this, you know what, I can make this. I was going to sell my old car. And eventually now I'm going to end up selling it to like a junkyard.
Oh, even better.
So the junk, I called the place a week ago. And he said, yeah, I gave him the information. He was like, yeah, I'm thinking probably $100 to $300. I'll come check it out or whatever. And I'm like, great. So if he comes over, checks out and goes, all right, yeah, we'll give you $200. We'll tow it and everything. Just come with this. We'll sign the papers at the place, and we'll be good to go. Like, oh, sweet. And he has now towed the car back to the junkyard. We are both there, or the parts place, whatever. We're both there, and then I'm leaning over the paper, And then in his hand, he has $150. And he goes, you know what? No, I think this is it. I think I can only give you $150. You go, whoa! You've picked it up. I've given you the papers. We're back at the parts place. You said $200. Like, it would cost you more time and money to take it back. I don't want it back. But no. I don't want the car back. But you said $200. And if you're cutting a quarter of this out, I would never work with you again. And if anyone ever asked me for advice on where they should sell their old cars, I would never tell them your name. The transaction is here. Also, I've told everyone that I'm selling it to you for $200. And you've added it to your inventory. You can't just change the price then. Also, at that point, I've got the car there and I don't want the car anymore. So frankly, if he was going to say, yeah, not going to do 200 actually, here's 180, I would probably just take it.
I mean, it is a Dodge Neon.
Right. Yeah, and for Marcus Peters, we're talking about like a Mercedes, but like with one of like the loud mufflers or whatever.
Dark tinted windows.
Yeah. Big rims.
Big rims. Spinning rims.
Spinning rims for sure.
Is it underlit?
Oh, 100% it's underlit. But it's also just a little too loud for some people. Yeah. Also in Kansas City, too black. Do you have the buzzer? You have the buzzer still up? I don't remember where I was going with that.
Oh, boy.
Nice. That's better. That was better than the buzzer. Owen is doing my job for me right now. He's lobbing me questions. Like, I have, like, little notes on it, but
is
I haven't gotten
to it yet.
Is this a plant? No, I wouldn't put that much work in to get a plant, like, to set this up. He's just feeding me lines right now. I said, how much, Owen writes in the Facebook comments, how much has this changed your view on Brett Veach? This is important. And it's also something where at this point, we got 40 minutes left in today's show. We have no news on the compensation the Chiefs have gotten here. So this might be a conversation we have in earnest on Monday. But as of right now, without knowing the compensation, I'm a little queasy. I do think, though, that this is saying less about Brett Veach and more about Andy Reid. Because I don't think Brett Veach has the type of day-to-day interactions with Marcus Peters that Andy Reid does. I think we probably got to a point where Andy Reid said, hey, at least be fielding offers, or Peters went to Veach and said, hey, get me out of here. And then Veach would have talked to Reid and said, all right, how serious are we about this? Are we really trying to move Peters? This doesn't feel like it would be a Brett Veach helmed situation. If it is, it bothers me, though, because again, Marcus Peters fit their plan as well as anybody. 3 more years of club control. Also, right now on ESPN, they're saying the phrase they use is, Chiefs agree to trade Marcus Peters to Rams. Deal will not be official until start a new league year on March 14th, according to Adam Schefter.
I'm surprised this hasn't come out from even, like, the Rams side.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, there might just be a very quiet meeting between the Chiefs and the Rams where they have a relationship where they can both agree to not say what the compensation was. I mean, so, like, at this point, I don't know, we get to March 14th. Would it stun you right now? We've gotten so much farther into today than I thought we would get before learning the compensation. I don't know. Maybe we end up March 14th for me now. I have no idea. I'm stunned we haven't found it yet. So I'm not totally out of Brett Veach. This does worry me. And the return will worry me. Or it will impact my opinion greatly. Ugh. They're showing stats now about how Marcus Peters has led the league in interceptions since 2015 by 5. It's 19 interceptions in the last 3 years. Ray says Fuller, Peters, and Barry would have been locked down. Yeah, they would have. why this is so upsetting. Is that Chris Paul dressed as a cowboy? It is. What am I watching?
Bro, he's been in Texas too long.
Wow, this is a lot to take in.
That is a really good effort, though. It's kind of funny.
I do feel like that's what you want to wear.
No.
A little bit?
No.
Yeah, a little bit.
No.
Owen says he heard me on the Locked On Chiefs podcast and decided to listen to the radio show. So far, he likes it. Thank you, Owen.
I actually listened to that last night.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Wow, that is so weird.
It was strange.
Why were you listening to me as a guest on another podcast?
I think I just saw one of their tweets from it, and I was like, yeah, I might as well. It's 30 minutes long.
Wow.
I was doing other stuff at the same time.
Well, let's go ahead and load up the numbers on that one. Let's all listen to it like 100 times so they keep having me on, because they have more Twitter followers than I do. And that's what matters to me. Also, I was going to retweet about it again today, but also on that show, which ended up coming out last night or two nights ago, I explained why the Chiefs would not trade Marcus Peters and why I love Brett Veach. So
it's a little dated.
It's a bit dated now, isn't it? It's a little bit. It's a little weak. A little hard to call back to that right now. I said a bunch of things that I was probably good on.
Just not that one.
Just not the biggest one. Just not the one that is the biggest story in Kansas City today.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops is about right. Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, we'll keep talking in the Facebook comments. Talking about Marcus Peters, at some point here I might kind of rehash it for a new audience where I'm at on all this in general, as if you haven't picked it up by now, and we'll keep taking the Facebook comments.
We have 96 of those so far.
Hell yeah, 96 Facebook comments. And if you like what you're watching, would you mind just like or angry react or sad react to the Facebook video? I'd appreciate that. Also, maybe you check out the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. And then we can show our bosses the people who are actually watching the show. And that matters so much.
Because we haven't had those so far.
That's not entirely true.
I know. I did that to myself.
Good. Good job, Beards. You buzzed yourself. So like the video if you don't hate it. Thanks for hanging out. Whenever we come back, we'll do more of this. But also, I'm starting to feel my cold catching up to me. My throat's getting kind of scritchy. My nose is getting kind of stuffy. I will make it through the next half hour. Physically. Emotionally, I'm honestly still not sure.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Let's go to the comments. Let's all go to the comments. I can't see the comments. Beards, what does it say?
Ha! On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
The song is called She's Out of Her Mind by Blink-182. Feels apropos. I'm sangry right now. Two things on Twitter made me sangry. Sad and angry. I'm sad because Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus tweeted about some stuff where Marcus Peters is the only cornerback in the NFL who can do a whole bunch of things. And that makes me sad. A tweet from... I bleep you not. A tweet from Angry Old Fetus. made me angry. He said, Peters is reported to have asked for the trade, which we talked about earlier. That was something that Seth Kaiser said a source told him. The last thing that you want is this baby playing on a team he doesn't want to be on. He is a child and would act accordingly. I would like to put this out for the record. If a literal 12-year-old was leading the league in interceptions over the last 3 years, I would personally bring him a Capri Sun every day to make him as comfortable as possible.
Sunny D.
Pop-Tarts every day.
Lunchables.
Infinite Lunchables. If he was leading the league in interceptions over the last 3 years, I would bring that literal child whatever little kid snacks he wanted.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch every morning.
Every morning.
Gotta see the field.
Whatever gets him out there. Oh, tantrum because he forgot his nap? Rough. That happens sometimes. He's the best corner in football. That guy's just gone now.
Wasn't he also... I'm trying to remember this right, because I just remember doing the draft that year. Didn't he have some sort of college issues?
Yeah. Yeah. They drafted him anyway? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All accurate.
I just remember recording that interview.
Yeah, not a surprise.
As soon as the draft happens.
No, not a surprise.
And I just remember that coming up, so I was like, oh yeah, that happened.
Also, somebody tweeted me, said, there's nothing on the field that Casey didn't like except the behavior with the refs, but there's plenty that they didn't like off the field that was time to move on. I feel like we're inventing things. The last problem that he had with a ref was that he hugged one. Remember whenever he hugged a ref last season? That was the last Peters ref interaction I remember. And off the field, like, apparently there was a shouting match with the coach. That happens. You get big egos in a game based around hitting other big dudes with big egos, and some of that's going to spill over. As far as I can figure, if I'm Clark Hunt, one of the things I'm paying Andy Reid for is to manage those egos. You either not let it get to that point or to deal with it when it does. If you do trade that guy for 100 cents on the dollar, then fine. If you got a king's ransom for Marcus Peters, then so be it. If you traded him for 30 cents on the dollar, you have failed as a head coach. And again, we have to use all of these if statements because we simply don't know yet what the Chiefs have gotten in return. So I'm trying to give you both sides of it. I'm not trying to just pile on one direction. If the Chiefs get a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, and also a second-round pick this year, fine. There were problems behind the scenes that we didn't even see from here that were such a big deal that fine, two firsts and a second, and I'm okay with it. We traded him for a third-round pick this year and a second next year. It's not enough. Something less than that, it is an embarrassment. Just cut him. So that's trying. I'm trying to set the boundaries. So you know that my opinion could be moved based on the compensation. With all the reports about how weak the market for Marcus Peters was, all of that, my expectations are not terribly high. Owen says Sonny D is terrible. Sonny D is not terrible when you're 12. Sonny D is an elixir. It's the king's elixir when you're 12. Clinton says, it's all going to come down to what the compensation is and what Marcus Peters could have done this offseason, which we wouldn't know in retrospect, like if any of this trade demand was true, if we would have held out or whatever, blah, 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 so it leaves with a sour taste. That's true. But again, he's not going to sit out for 3 years. And it's partially your job as a coach to foster that environment so you're not at that place that's so broken. Owen says what makes it so terrible is we're back at square one with our secondary. I talked about this a little bit earlier today. I'm right here with you on this one. We could have had Peters and Fuller, meaning two very good corners, but of course that couldn't happen because the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy. I'm not a big fan of country music, but I think I could write a country music song called The Chiefs Hate It When I'm Happy. That feels like something that would work just fine.
Yeah. Garth Brooks, of course.
Twang-a-twang-twang-twang-twang-twang. My girl left me and my dog died. Felt like a poke right in the eye. I know I'm sad. Don't want to get sappy, but the Chiefs sure hate it whenever I'm happy. Oh, boy. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam.
That's at least a seventh-round song.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the compensation for that song. I feel like we could at least workshop this a little bit more. I don't know why I made it such a happy, like, banjo song. You could make it kind of like a power ballad, like... We could have had two perfect corners, but then we went, and now I abhor her. She broke my heart once again. I should have known she would trade another man. Oh, I don't want to get too sappy. With my heart on my sleeve, the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy. Twang a twang twang a twang a twang 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 a twang a twang twang. Beard, just tell me whenever we're back from commercial break, would you please?
Oh, we've actually been back for like 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
That's public domain now.
Oh, no, no. Copyright. DM, TM, TM.
Trademark. Owen wants it as a rap.
What?
Owen wants it as a rap.
I think I could do that. I'd need some more time to, I think, to flesh out the
lyrics. We can workshop that for Monday. That's our tease for you to come back Monday.
Sure.
Because yeah, we won't have compensation. We won't know what the trade is by then.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're still going to be guessing as to what the Chiefs got back in return for Marcus Peters, but I'll have a rap about how the Chiefs hate it when we're happy.
And I'll have my Desmond Pfeiffer update.
Ulysses makes the point that if you can sing about insurance in a country song, which that Peyton Manning commercial does, we could sing about that. I think we're good. I do think, I feel like if we came back with a nice instrumental, maybe we could lay down some fat.
I think we were just more worried about somebody stealing it and then turning it into a hit commercial.
No, that's
they
that's
get the millions of dollars off of.
No, that is
and we're stuck here with a mouse that doesn't work in a leaky ceiling.
God, I wish that was an overstatement.
Hey, at least it's quit leaking now.
Has it quit leaking?
Yeah, it hasn't been doing it all hour, I think.
Oh, really? Turn the mic up. We have a second microphone set up today, simply so we can hear whenever droplets of
water... How much water's in there, I wonder?
...fall into the trash can? I don't know. Seamus asks, says, we're not going to have a last week on again, are we?
We will. I've cut audio this week.
Oh, really? Do you have the last 3 weeks?
I might do something.
You need to get Curtis to voice the last 3 weeks on Almost Entirely Sports because Beard's got lazy.
I'll just get a random computer generator to do that.
Fine. That's fine. What a sad, sad day. And the Chiefs got a sixth round compensatory draft pick. For losing the eventual Super Bowl MVP in free agency. Like, I feel like we're just gonna keep getting bleeped today, right?
Outside of Patrick Mahomes getting traded, or anything to do with Patrick Mahomes, what's the worst thing that could happen after this? Nobody dies.
Right, you can't be
okay. No deaths, no Patrick Mahomes.
For me, I mean, the answer for me and for the rest of the and for the Chiefs are slightly different. The worst thing that could happen for the Chiefs and for Chiefs like fans as in general would be Eric Berry gets traded to the Browns for like a third round pick.
Yeah, that would hurt.
For me, it would be Travis Kelce being traded to a good team, like to the Eagles. Travis Kelce to the Eagles, reunited with his brother, Super Bowl winning team, going to get better next year. Have to watch him have success. In a bigger city, on a better team, that one would hurt me the most, I think. Chris Jones also would be, because I'm just thinking about personalities now. Like,
right.
Marcus Peters was a personality. Even if you hated it, he was at least a personality. I'm excited for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's going to carry the post-game press conferences to new levels as far as entertainment value.
Travis Kelce goes to the Patriots to replace Gronk.
Oh, my God. I can't. I was going to say, or he didn't have to replace Gronk. He can just go be their Aaron Hernandez. And then I was going to pull back. And well, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
But they drafted those guys together. I'm pretty sure Brady could use both of them. Oh, no. I think you know what's the worst? Travis Kelce gets traded to the Rams. That would be the worst. Kelce and Chris Jones get traded to the Rams.
Or somebody goes to Oakland. Or Denver.
Denver would be.
Which one would be worse, Oakland or Denver? Just for anybody.
I mean, Denver's a worse team right now by a little bit. I don't have a quarterback. I'm upset by the fact
that
we don't
have a quarterback to give them.
Right. I'm upset by the fact that the Broncos are probably going to end up with Baker Mayfield, and I'm going to have to root against Baker Mayfield. And honestly, I just want him to win. You know, that's a good question. I think the saddest possible thing would be losing Travis Kelce to a better team. That would be that would hurt me in my soul. Like, I don't want to have to cover this team whenever in like a second Scott Pioli era, like a second Ice Age. Devoid of personality.
RJ has commented very quickly. Mahomes will be entertaining in the sense that he does an amazing Cookie Monster impression.
Still my dream for this show, and it will never happen because, I mean...
The Chiefs don't have a sense of humor.
I didn't say that. Those were not my words. Those were Beards' words.
Speculation only.
That was the voice of Beards McFly, who has never had a less than positive interaction with Chiefs PR. I said nothing of the sort. But my dream that won't ever happen would be to get Pat Mahomes on this show for 5 minutes just so we could read the list of things that we think he sounds like and let him pick which thing he thinks he sounds like most. That would be a dream, and it will never happen. Or if it does happen, I would have to be very sneaky. And I don't know how we'd even get Mahomes on the show. But we would have to just try to pull that off, and then he would complain to Chiefs PR, and then we would be blacklisted forever.
Ambush him in a McDonald's at 7 a.m.
6.
6, I'm sorry.
6 a.m. It's a story for previous
days. Seamus, what do I need to buzz myself for?
Owen says, wouldn't Barry being traded to the Raiders hurt more than being traded to the Browns? Probably, but I feel like I would like Eric Berry to win. Like, I feel like, I kind of like a Tony Gonzalez feel about Eric Berry. You're kind of getting towards Tony Gonzalez territory, right? I think it would hurt more to see him traded somewhere where he was just going to waste away or continue to waste away. Owen also asks, has it been confirmed that we're only getting draft picks, or is there a player involved? I heard, or I think it was Schefter earlier. Someone earlier had reported that there were no players involved, just picks. Also, the worst case scenario from RJ, he had two: Eric Berry getting traded or my dad dying.
Hey, we preface this saying nobody dies, no Patrick Mahomes stuff. Also, RJ also said the Chiefs PR guy will preface any interview saying, "Do not ask Patrick about Alex Smith. Do not ask Patrick about Marcus Peters. And do not ask Patrick for any Cookie Monster impressions."
I mean, just hearing a PR guy have to say that to me into a phone recording.
That would make it all worthwhile.
That'd be an okay substitute? Yeah, that would be pretty good, yeah. Whatever.
You've been broken?
What?
You've been broken?
Yeah, I just... Okay, whatever, man. Like, the Chiefs have broken me today, and the idea of that ever happening is breaking me.
Longer the show has gone on, I've noticed you were very focused in the first hour-ish.
Oh, yeah.
You were very consistent. You had a lot. You had stuff going on. This last, I don't know, 20 minutes, it's just been, man... Cookie Monster.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, that's definitely palpable. Very, very focused, direct heat-seeking missiles for the first hour, and the second hour I'm just kind of like kicking rocks along the beach, just thinking.
The Peanuts music's playing overhead, the really sad Peanuts music.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now I gotta find it.
It was like the first hour. I've gone through the stages of grief. Hold on. Can you get me the Jeopardy music? I know you're trying to pull several musics at a time. Can I get some music for trying to look up the stages of grief? The internet is not good in this building.
No.
Okay, got it. Denial. Well, this has to be a fake Schefter account. That was my first thought. This cannot be real. Not the Rams. It doesn't make any sense. Anger. I am so mad that the Chiefs have actually folded this way and traded their best defensive player. God, I'm mad. Bargaining. Well, if they traded him, it was probably for a king's ransom. It was probably a tremendous return, a tremendous haul for a tremendous player. This sucks, and I'm sad, son, I'm hurt. But it's probably for a good return. Depression. They're not going to get anything back for him. I mean, we haven't heard the compensation. It's been like 5 hours. I mean, they're going to get like a fourth round pick, like a fourth and a fifth round pick from the Rams. They're going to suck this year. They're going to go 4-12. They've got no players. They have no defense. They've backtracked so far. Acceptance. At least we have Patrick Mahomes. That is my acceptance phase. I've gone through the 5 stages of grief live on air over the last hour and change. Andy Rowe, we're at the point where Josh reboots the Caveman cinematic universe. Which is an amazing reference if you listened to yesterday's show in its entirety.
In that one segment that we talked about it.
And it is a horrible reference that makes no sense whatsoever if you are new to the show today.
Also, there's been a lot of couch talk in the comments.
Which I appreciate. Seamus says, Josh Briscoe sat on a wall. Peters got traded and Josh had a big fall. And of all the Chiefs men, only Patrick Mahomes could put him back together again. That feels about right. I know I read it poorly. I was off on my iambic pentameter. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go one more refresh of the Twitter feeds. See if we can get any news on the compensation the Chiefs got from Marcus Peters. And if not, I'll try to stay in acceptance. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Listening to at JB Briscoe, at Beers McFly, and at Charlie Carlin, at C. Carlin KC, on the AES podcast is the radio equivalent of watching Teletubbies. It's odd, often pointless, and frequently disturbing, but one finds itself unable to turn away.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Right, now we begin our Royal season preview. Oh, we're out of time? Oh, okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Close up shop here on Friday. Going into a weekend. And the question on everyone's mind will be, what is my compensation? It's the question we asked because we still don't know. I'm stunned that we're coming up on 6 o'clock and never learned what the Chiefs are getting in return for Marcus Peters. But here we are. Thanks to everyone who's hung out for the 2 hours today. These 2 hours absolutely flew by. Partially thanks to the Chiefs making a decision that I was stunned to see happen. And partially thanks to you listening. The tweets and the Facebook comments and everything made this show just, like, hustle right on through.
Bad for us. Good for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, today's a good show. Today's a good show, and we reached a bunch of new people today, and got some really good interactions from everyone today. So, thanks for being around to do that. I enjoyed the show today. Not necessarily the actions that got us to the show today. I'm going to be really, really interested to see what the Chiefs end up getting. And I do wonder if there's something happening behind the scenes that isn't locked up yet. If this comes out, in 5 or 6 minutes, I'll think that they were just waiting until daytime media was closed up.
They might do that tomorrow.
Yeah, right, that could happen tomorrow. If we don't find out until March 14th, start of the league year, whenever all that becomes official, then I'll just think these teams are very good at keeping their mouths closed.
I'll be shocked if that happens.
I would also be very surprised if that happened. I'm very surprised we got this late into it. So, at this point, honestly, you know what I'm rooting for? I'm rooting for it not to come out until Monday, so people have a full weekend to listen to the podcast and not have it be immediately outdated. At this point, that's all I want. All I want now, selfishly, like, I've just been kicked in the bleep so many times today by the Chiefs. I just want them to stay away from ruining the shelf life of this podcast.
And your weekend.
No, my weekend's ruined. My weekend is already in the toilet.
I tried.
If you want KU Talk tomorrow, I'll be on 8:10 from what? I think like 12 to 1:30. I don't know. Before the KU game. It doesn't matter. Why am I even saying that? It's Marcus Peters Day, which is a very sad, sad thing. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.